today on Real Radio.
He says, I must first begin my judgment at the house of the Lord. Did you know that? God says, I start with my church first. So whatever's going on in America regarding church, God is behind it. He may not be causing it, but he's using it. And he's purging, he's cleansing his church.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message now called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1. He continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Nothing seems to stop Peter from living out his faith in Jesus Christ, not even his age. Peter is much older now than when he wrote his first letter to the church. Still, he's showing a determination that we can all take a lesson from. To have a resilient, unwavering, and effective kind of faith that can stand up against the godless age in which we live. So far, Peter has taught us to have a faith that's grounded in truth and continues to develop towards maturity. There are false ministries out there who present their own made-up version of Christianity, but Peter's passion for truth warns us to stay vigilant in our battle against deception. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that many will flaunt their immoral conduct and give themselves over to a godless lifestyle to be celebrated, embraced, and even promoted. Peter, however, exposes their sin and how their souls are headed for eternal darkness. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But we're watching all these things, this corruption play out in the world around us. This word is powerful because when it says that they're to be like natural brute beasts, this is hard to say. Listen, for those of you who are visiting, we go through the Bible verse by verse. That's how you get the entire word of God. And by the way, that's how Jesus taught. See, because the reason why I say that is because who would have a service? Who would have a church service? Hey, welcome, come on in. We're going to talk about God hunting down the brute beast of men who are given over to their passions, and this is what they're going to inherit. And who wants to hear this? But we have to hear this. The word means this. The word implies that God is the hunter. This is very, very graphic. There are those who are violent, animal-like, godless people who are walking the earth making mischief. Are you with me? Your temptation and mine is to say, why doesn't somebody do something? And somebody should do something. That's why we are, we're supposed to have civility. God loves civility. But beyond that, the evilness of it, how could this happen? What's going on? Just know this. They're not getting away with anything. The Bible here says, you need to tell your friends when you go to work tomorrow. The Bible says God is hunting them down. You see some guy, and this is the extreme. Of course, it doesn't have to be this way. Somebody who beats his wife, God's hunting you down. Somebody who's abusing a child, God is hunting you. Let me tell you, God needs no permit, and he never has to reload. He's holy and righteous, and when evil's being perpetrated, and you think you get away from it, know this, God's hunting you. He's stalking you like a lion in righteousness. And this evil is going on, and this verse tells us, especially in the context of false teachers, God is hunting. You say, I don't know if I like that. It's a fact. People who are perpetrating evil, you can hear God, as it were, loading. And he's about ready to bring judgment. And it's dead serious. The Bible tells us that he's pursuing them, just like a brute beast is hunted down, caught, he says, here and destroyed. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11. Proverbs 1:11. If they say, come with us, these are bad people, people you're hanging out with. You know, we need to pray about this. This is on my mind. I don't know if it's from God or not, but after we get done with Peter, I was thinking, maybe praying Lord, should we do Proverbs? Because our world has gone nuts. Maybe we should be doing, maybe we should do Proverbs on a Sunday. But look what he says. If there's people, imagine your kids. One of your kids' friends says, come with us. Let us lie in wait to shed innocent blood. Let's lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. You can turn your TV on and watch that. I saw the strangest thing, maybe you saw it too, where a man had looted an electrical store, had a bunch of stuff in his cart, and he's going down the street or an alley. And this was drone footage from one of our cities in America. And the looter got robbed by people who were going to loot the store. They were walking by and you can see it. They go like this and they see, wow. And they just absolutely punched the guy out and took the stuff that he stole. Is there no law? Hey, I stole this fair and square. But isn't that an animal world? Yes. It is, huh? Watch out for those who say, come, let's go. Come on, let's go have a good time. Let's go have some fun. It's terrifying. We're living in an age where good is evil and evil is good. And things are twisted. I believe these are all sourced and rooted ultimately in spiritual warfare. So I wrote this down. It might offend some of you, but I had to get it off my heart. I can go outside, or I can't go outside. Not supposed to go outside, like the maniacs are free to do roaming our streets. I have got to be curfewed so they can run amok in our cities. Is this too much truth for people? You guys all right? Listen, they don't want us to go to church, but we can go outside and riot. We're supposed to keep a gathering to no more than 100 people, but thousands can be in a store looting it. Our elected officials tell us to obey them while they obey the anarchist. Our elected officials swear to uphold the Constitution while they turn around and wage war against it. The police are called to stand down while the guilty attack the innocent. Our elected officials condemn a church service but then go about and encourage rioters to exercise their First Amendment rights. That was defended this last week. They're just expressing their First Amendment right. And a reporter on CNN said, it is a merry caravan of protesters. And as he was reporting, somebody hit him. It's on film. Sorry, it's very sad and funny at the same time. He's talking about how great it is. And he was hit with lawlessness. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 15. I'll end soon. I can kind of feel the feeling in the room right now. It's like, what's going on? This is normal for this church, by the way. I just wanted you to know that. But Isaiah chapter 5, verse 15. Think about this. As we read this 3,000-year-old document, think about your world. Humanity will be destroyed and people brought down. Even the arrogant will be lower. Their eyes in humiliation, but the Lord of heaven's army will be exalted by his justice. The holiness of God will be displayed by his righteousness. In that day, lambs will find food or good pastures, and fattened sheep and young goats will feed among the ruins. What sorrow for those who drag their sins behind them with ropes made of lies, who drag wickedness behind them like a cart. They even mock God and say, hurry up and do something. We want to see what you can do. Let the Holy One of Israel carry out his plan, for we want to know what it is. What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark. That bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and they think themselves so clever. What sorrow for those who are heroes at drinking wine and boast about all the alcohol they can hold or consume. They take bribes to let the wicked go free, and they punish the innocent. Hello? Therefore, just as the fire licks up stubble and dry grass shrivels in the flames, so their roots will rot and their flowers will wither. For they have rejected the law of the Lord of heaven's armies. They have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That is why the Lord's anger burns against them and why he has raised his fist to crush them. The mountains tremble and the corpses of his people litter the streets like garbage. But even then, the Lord's anger is not satisfied. His fist is still poised to strike. He will send a signal to distant nations far away and whistle to those who will not get tired or stumble. They will not stop for rest or sleep. Not a belt will loose or be loosed. Not a sandal strap broken. Their arrows will be sharp in their bows and ready for battle. He's talking about a coming judgment from a foreign nation. Sparks will fly from their horses' hooves, and the wheels of their chariots will spin like a whirlwind. They will roar like lions, like the strongest of lions, growling. They will pounce on their victims and carry them off, and no one will be able to will be there to rescue them. Verse 30, they will roar over their victims on that day of destruction like the roaring of the sea. If someone looks across the land, only darkness and distress will be seen. Even the light will be darkness or darkened by clouds. No one wants to study that stuff, even though we did in the book of Isaiah. Nobody wants to study that. It doesn't fit the narrative of our emotions. It doesn't fit the narrative of what we want. See, listen, why did you tell us this to make this point? If I was a hireling, if I was a false teacher and a false prophet, I never would have given you that passage. Why? Because God says, I'm going to judge all wickedness. And don't think America's exempt. Okay? He says, I must first begin my judgment at the house of the Lord. Did you know that? God says, I start with my church first. So whatever's going on in America regarding church, God is behind it. He may not be causing it, but he's using it. And he's purging, he's cleansing his church. And then finally we'll end here. I got 9 seconds. Verses 13 to 14. They're given over. Their pride has caused them to be given over. Verse 13. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it a pleasure to carouse in the daytime. The word means broad daylight. They carouse in the day. What does carouse mean? It means this. It means they go about doing all manners of mischief to carouse. They go around making trouble. They used to do it at night, but it's gotten so bad they do it in the day. Does that sound familiar? Yes. Isn't it amazing? Why would you do such a thing? Excuse me, sir. Why are you doing such a thing? Whatever he says, know this, it's rooted in pride. It's rooted in pride. Listen, this is why the gospel is the only answer for our crazy day. I think we're done. We can, it's time's up. It's actually, let's finish the verse though. Look at verse 13. While they feast with you, that's scary. They feast with you. This is a church setting. Let's have a potluck. Okay, just know there's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing that show up with some souffle that could be poisoned, if not their mouth. Right? Verse 14 says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, looking what they can get from somebody, enticing unstable souls. What does that mean? People who are not rooted and grounded get sucked away by these people. Hang on to your seats. They will have a heart trained in covetous practices. They are accursed children. Wow. Last night, Lisa and I were having this discussion, and as we talk, we're talking with people. We talk to people all the time, but we're watching a trend. And I'm going to reach out to some pastors across the nation that I know this week to ask them this. You can close your Bible. You can stand. We're watching something that's never been seen before. And it's this. we're watching people who, in category A, they, whatever level of Christianity, whatever growth, whatever maturity, they don't need to come back to church anymore. They're fine with it. They don't need to. They don't care to. Whatever. And then there's a different category who, they're knocking down the doors to get in here. And we've found out something. And I got to do the science on this to make sure it's for real. When I began to ask at the first of this last week, are we ready, staff, are we ready to go full bore? How's everything been working? And I was assuming that it's going to take forever to get back our children's ministers, because you know it's all done by incredible. You're the team that does it. And the parking ministry and the ushers and the greeters and everything. You just can't turn the key and you know what I'm saying? Well, I was wrong. And this is a lesson for all of us. The people who are trying to bust down the door to get back to church are the people who are serving. Listen, this is going to sting. Not you, it's going to sting some. When pastors told me, you're doing it, you should never be doing that. You should not be opening your doors. It dawned on me, they feel fine about what they're doing because they're teaching people online. They're using their gift. So they feel usable. Are you hearing me? Yeah. The body of Christ, who wants to serve the body of Christ, they were not being used during this time of sequestering. And so they're just biting at the bit. They can't wait. It's like, I got to get back. And listen, if a pastor's not careful, the pastor's saying, oh, calm down. It's all going fine. For you, it is. Because you're exercising your gift. What about the flock that makes the church happen? And so I was blown away. So I asked the question this week. So if we open up full bore, do you have your people? Uh-huh. No, you don't understand what I'm asking you. Do you have your people to meet the need and the demands of... Yes. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, we're ready to go. Well, what about your usher? We got him. Really? What about the children's ministry? Got him. Here's the point. The people who've been serving couldn't wait to get back to church. They're going to knock the doors down. The people who don't, listen, if no one is dependent upon your Christian growth, if they're not serving, they have no pressure to get back to church. They have no passion to get back to church. And even in that, there's a fear and a danger of deception. Be very careful about what's out there and who's out there. The greatest news in the world is that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and all your sin and mine. Yes. And Jesus rose again from the dead, exactly as the Bible said he would. You can't get to heaven, as we read Romans 3, you can't get to heaven by being good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have failed. We've all failed. And I'll end with a story. I'm actually ahead of schedule. We're done. We are done. We're really done. I was in a flat, invited to a man's flat, a family's flat in St. Petersburg, Russia. We had been preaching the gospel on the streets. The man said, "Will you come to my house tonight?" And according to this man, we were sitting at his table. He said, my wife might need God. I understand. My daughter might need God. I see why they need God, believe me. But I don't need God. I'm a very good man. So why do I need this Jesus? Listen, I'm telling you, I'll never forget it because God grabbed my mouth in this moment. Watch what happened. And I said, have you ever heard of cyanide? You know, cyanide? Of course. And I said, well, okay. So of course I didn't have any with me, but I grabbed a glass of water and I took a lemon on the table and I said, imagine if this was cyanide, and I dropped 4 drops into this, stirred it up, and handed it to you. Will you drink it? Yet. And I said, what about if I put 2 drops, only 2 drops, in the water? Only 2. Would you drink it? No. How about if I put 1 drop of cyanide poison in this beautiful clear glass of water? Would you drink it then? Never. Why? 1 drop will kill you. And I said, listen, if you were climbing up a cliff on a chain and you pulled up on that chain and you went through 10,000 links on that chain, but you got right to the top and one broke, one grasp ahead of you, what would you do? He goes, I'd fall. And I said, so at what point do you stand and negotiate with God to say to him, I'm good, I don't need you, because now that I've known about you, we're good. When you start in life with drops of cyanide in you, when you start tainted, today you might be thinking, well, this is great. You know, all you people need God. No, you need God. Because, you know, you are tainted with an invisible droplet of sin. And the Bible says no sin can be before God. That's why we all need Christ. No one's going to heaven without him. And so today you need to trust him and put your faith in him. Let's pray right now together. I know we're leaving the building, but let's just do this. Father, we thank you for today. And we pray, God, that you would hear our cry and heal our land. Father God, please don't let us, and I know we deserve to be judged. I pray that you would delay your judgment, Almighty God. You are the judge of nations. We know that. But Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, also in Jesus' name, that that would not only be true in the church repenting and seeking God, but a man or a woman today, a boy or a girl who would say, Lord Jesus, please, I've thought of my sin today. I am not good enough. And I need your salvation. I repent of my sin. God, I agree with you that those thoughts and those deeds of my life back then or yesterday are wrong, and I need you. So Christ Jesus, I come to you now, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Wash me clean, and Lord, I decide today to follow you. May you go in the power of God, and may this first service go today in the power of God. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Romans 8:31 tells us that if God is for us, then who can be against us? Still, even when we know down deep inside that that really is true, we often shy away from taking a stand for our faith. How different it was for Peter and the early Christians who boldly preached the gospel in spite of hostility and persecution. Combat faith, it's possible today. The more we know about the Bible and what Jesus has done to set us free, the less fear we're going to have sharing our faith. It's why Pastor Jack has his very own YouTube channel. You can stay up to date with the latest sermons from Pastor Jack, learn about all sorts of different topics when it comes to the Word of God, and also spend some time learning about our Christian worldview. Join the thousands who've already subscribed to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel. Be sure to click on the notification icon for videos he's recently updated. The name of that YouTube channel, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and you can access the channel through YouTube or at his website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.